Hey everyone, it's Paul with you once again for B-Movie Mania Interviews. I am so thrilled that I got a chance to sit down and chat with actor Sarah Nicklin, and we talk about lots of stuff, so we're going to get to that momentarily. But real quick, if this happens to be your first time listening to B-Movie Mania, you know, consider subscribing to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all the podcast places, or simply you can go to bmoviemania.com and check us out. We would very much appreciate it. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Uncle Lloyd will tell you more about that at the end of the interview. But right now, let's get into it. Here's my interview with the wonderful and talented Sarah Nicklin.
It's B-Movie Mania!
Sarah, welcome to B-Movie Mania.
Thank you for having me.
It is so great to finally get a chance to chat with you. We've kind of known about each other for a while, but this is our first time meeting and getting a chance to chat, so it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally being able to set this up, since we were trying to do that for
right.
a little while also.
So. LA life.
Yeah, it happens. Happens to the best of us.
It does. You know, for any of our listeners who might not be familiar with you or your work, you're an actor and a producer here in LA. Just talk a little bit about, you know, what it is you do.
So mostly acting, mostly stuff in front of the camera. Majority of the work that I've done has been in independent films. So I think I have 77 credits.
Whoa.
On IMDb right now, I think. And I've done more that didn't get up there because they didn't get finished or didn't get distributed or, you know, whatever, because that happens. Yeah, and I've done a little producing here and there as well, you know, trying to just move things forward and get stuff done. But acting is really my main passion. Most of those are like genre horror film stuff, but I don't do only horror films. I do a variety of different types of genres. It's just once you get involved in that community, it's just kind of a snowball effect and you know, it just runs away with it. So
my next question was going to be, do you know how many movies you've done? So 77 is the unofficial sort of, or the official, I guess, on IMDb.
I guess that's the official on IMDb. But IMDb also has, like, and I don't even know how it got on there. It has, like, extra work that I did, like, before I even knew what, like, movies, like, how movies worked or anything.
IMDb is an enigma. I don't understand how it works.
I don't either. And the process to, like, get stuff, like, updated or removed, because I've tried to get that extra stuff off there, because who cares if you were, you know, law student, whatever and whatever. Like, nobody cares, and they don't take it down. They're like, no, we are the definitive database on everything. And I'm like, no, nobody cares. Just get rid of it. Like,
yeah. It's not... It's a strange, strange system.
Exactly.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you got married pretty recently to Jonathan Taylor Thomas, right? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
I've done my homework.
My 8-year-old little girl inside me, all of her dreams are coming true.
Congratulations.
Why, thank you.
No, well, I don't know. Do you want to talk about your childhood?
Sure,
or
yeah.
Or do you want to talk about who you actually got married to? It's up
well,
to you.
Sure. No, absolutely. So the whole reason I started acting was because I was obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And so that was my, you know, big grand scheme when I was, you know, in middle school, elementary school, whatever, is like, oh, I'll just become, you know, a big famous actress. Like, easy, no problem, right? Because all the actors, obviously, they all know each other, so...
Just one big club.
Just one club, exactly. So if I just become an actress, then I'll meet Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and we'll fall in love, and we'll get married. And that was, like, my giant goal as a child. So I started acting, and as soon as I could, pretty much as soon as the first opportunity presented itself, which was a play in middle school called Bye Bye Birdie. And then, just kept doing plays from then on. I did my first independent film right out of high school before going to college. And pretty much haven't looked back ever since. I mean, not obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas anymore.
But I gotta ask, did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No, I have not met him ever.
Maybe one of these days.
Maybe. I don't know what happened to him. He kind of just he was, you know, child star and then like fell off the face of the planet. So I don't know. I mean, I've seen him pop up like once in a while, but I feel like he's kind of quit acting and is doing other stuff. But.
Yeah, I can't say that I really keep tabs on him too closely.
Really?
Yeah, sorry. Do you want to talk about Sean?
Yeah, sure, but in my real life. we got engaged, so we haven't officially gotten married yet.
Oh, okay, sorry, I jumped the gun a little
that's
bit.
That's fine. We're in the process of trying to plan and like find a venue and all that sort of stuff. So
I shot weddings for 8 years, so I get it.
Yeah, no,
it's a process.
It is a process, like, and it's an expensive process. So probably will end up being early next year at some point. This is kind of what we're thinking right now.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, and that guy, my fiance. I didn't say his name. It's right. Just Sean Decker. So
he just kind of got like a new job, right, with a different company. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. He's currently working as the director of development for the Conley Company, which is a young emerging film production company. The first film they did is called A Christmas in New York, and that was released, I think, the end of November by Gravitas Ventures. And then the next film that they completed was The Basement, which is like a horror psychological thriller. And that is something that's currently seeking distribution. And then they have a couple other projects that they're working on internally as far as development for future things.
Gravitas is that napkin company. You always see the napkin logo.
I think you're right. I remember like cursive handwriting.
Yeah, I think
but on a napkin. Yeah. Okay.
Now you mentioned that you do a lot of different types of projects. Do you gravitate towards horror because I know that you touched on it, but is it something that you enjoy doing? Kind of doing the more horrific type of movies.
I mean, I like doing horror because the sets are so much fun. On any, like, comedy or, like, other drama stuff that I've worked on, the sets aren't as lively. I feel like, especially on if you're doing a comedy, it's, like, all the laughs are on the camera. So the set dynamic is just, it's not up to par. And so if you're doing a horror film, when you're doing such horrific stuff, and oftentimes very ridiculous stuff, the sets are just really, really fun and really lively. And so, you know, you get splattered with blood or whatever, and as soon as someone yells cut, the crew breaks out laughing because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of it a lot.
I was over at a friend's place a while back, and we were checking out The Disco Exorcist.
Yeah.
And you're in that, obviously,
uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed it. What was your experience like making that one?
That one was really fun. I mean, that one's just so over the top. I mean, it's hard not to have fun on a film like that. And so that was my fifth or sixth film with Richard Griffin, and so at that point we had gotten to know each other like really, really well, and like that he had creates this whole family dynamic on his sets, which is awesome. And so on that one especially, like we would help out doing costuming, or we built some of the sets, or you know, and like whatever needed to be done in order to get the movie made rather than just only being in front of the camera. And then I mean, Richard just has such an amazing sense of humor that, like, half the stuff in there, it's like, you have a script and you have everything you think you're going to shoot, and then Richard will be like, hang on, wait a second, why don't you try it this way? And then that is what ends up going into the movie, because it's just way more entertaining than what was originally
right.
on paper.
It's always nice to hear that when you have a filmmaker who brings that sense of fun to the project. It almost takes you back to, you know, the reason that you started doing movies or theater or whatever in the first place. You wanted to have fun with it, and it was a fun thing to do. So it's always nice to hear when you have an experience like that, that you know, you get to dip your hands in some different paints and things like that, and
exactly.
have a good time with it.
Yeah, definitely. And get to see, you know, all different sides of the production, because you can sometimes get very, you know, closed off and closed-minded and focus only on what you do. But part of making film is that it's a collaborative effort. It's not just you. It's everyone else's thoughts and opinions and vision, and having it all work together is really the fun process.
Yeah, really, if you're not a collaborative type of person, filmmaking, being in the film business, is really not for you.
Nope, not for you at all. You will be so frustrated.
I saw that you did something last year for Lifetime called The Ugly Christmas Sweater.
Yeah, I did.
What's that all about?
So that is a series of, I think this is the first time that Lifetime did this, where they did like a series of shorts that they released over Christmas. And I completely didn't even know that it was playing until like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
So you missed it.
I missed it. So I never even saw it. I mean, like, I'm not, so I hope it came out well. It was a really like fun, cute script about a girl that is trying to work her way up at, you know, the marketing company where she's working, and her grandma, she has a really great relationship with her grandma who makes her this ugly Christmas sweater. So she has to wear it to, you know, not hurt her grandma's feelings. And someone in the coffee shop ends up snapping a photo of her, like with the Christmas sweater and her coffee cup being all like victorious, and it goes like viral on social media. And so her, all the people at her marketing company are like, oh, this was such a good idea, how did you come up with this, and blah 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 blah.
I'm gonna have my mom DVR that, see if I can check it out.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe next Christmas.
Maybe it'll come around again. I mean, Lifetime does do that. They play the same Christmas movies over and over.
Absolutely.
So.
I got a little soft spot for Lifetime movies, so.
There's a weird overlap between, like, Lifetime and horror. It's really, it's just, apparently the Wall Street Journal, like, did an article on this, like, not too long ago, because, I mean, I have several friends that are prolific horror writers and prolific Lifetime writers, so I don't know what it is about those two where the overlap just, it just works.
Like, I had no idea.
You wouldn't think
it. You would
it,
never think
like,
that.
At all, because they're at such opposite ends of the spectrum as far as you're concerned.
That's but, really funny.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Huh. So, on a little bit more of a serious note, I guess.
Sure.
What is your take on, you know, everything that's going on in Hollywood and in the film industry right now? The culture has been changing really quickly in a very positive way, in my opinion. What's your take on it? You know, where do you think things are going?
Well, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great that so many people are able to come out and talk about things that have happened to them, and that it's put a lot of guys on notice to not continue acting this way, because, I mean, everyone of all budget levels has stories of, you know, people that acted inappropriately. Not necessarily just men either, because it goes both ways. There are women that can be overly aggressive towards men as well. So it's gender equal. But I think it is really good for people being able to say, you can't treat me this way, and to get rid of that, you know, stereotype of the casting couch where you have to compromise yourself in order to get ahead. That's great. I also feel like there's a risk and that it could be going too far, in that anyone can just come out and accuse anyone of saying anything without necessarily having any proof, and they're being damned in the court of public opinion, regardless of if it's true or not. And so I think that's a little scary. And I also feel like, I mean, everyone has been in an uncomfortable situation where they've been hit on and they didn't like it. That's just part of life. Like, that's not a Me Too thing. That's not sexual harassment. That is just life. And I feel like a lot of guys now are afraid to even talk to a girl because they don't want it to in any way be misconstrued as some sort of, like, predatorial advance. And I think that in that way, we're basically cutting the balls off of our men. And that's not a good thing to do, because I would say if you want the advance, a lot of women like men to be aggressive. But if the advance is unwanted, that's where it starts to cross the line. So there's kind of a gray area there that I hope we don't go so far that there's no coming back, and that, you know, guys will be afraid to make any sort of pursuing of someone they're interested in.
Yeah, it seems like there's still a lot of sort of feeling out for how we're going to handle a lot of this. People are still trying to get a grip on it. I don't want this to sound sexual, but it is. Accidentally.
Exactly.
Paul cut that part out. Well, obviously, it's B-movie mania, so we're all about the B-movies here. Do you have any personal favorites in terms of, you know, cult cinema, low-budget films that that are near and dear to your heart?
That's kind of hard for me to answer because, like, I feel like I didn't grow up and watching any sort of B movies.
Really?
Like I didn't know that was a thing. Like my family was not into horror. They weren't into genre films. They weren't into sci-fi films. They, you know, only saw big budget, you know, talking animals and stuff that was in the theaters. So I kind of don't have any of that like nostalgia that a lot of other people do towards B movies that they watched as a kid that they really love. I've really only like grown to know them as an adult and as an actor, so
it's pretty much the same for me. I mean, I had kind of one of those strict Midwestern Christian upbringings where there's a lot of stuff that I just wasn't allowed to see.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
So you kind of have to play a little bit of catch up later on. You know,
you absolutely do. Yeah. And like, I mean, like, I didn't see Goonies until I was like 20 because I didn't even know that it was like a thing.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like, but it's not the same as like when you see it as a kid. It's
right.
just a different, it's a different take on it.
Horror movies though, or anything like that?
Recently I saw for the first time actually, which I'm kind of ashamed to admit, but I saw Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice.
Which was so good.
Yes.
It was so good. And I was like, I felt so sad for the creature.
Right.
Like, poor creature. That was like, people are terrible. They come into your home and start fucking stuff up and like, and then they come after you and it's your fault. And like, that was not,
It's got
that
a
was
little,
not okay.
It's got some emotional weight to it.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, Creature definitely, now that I've seen it, definitely now has a special place in my heart.
Highly recommend if you haven't checked out, there's two sequels to it. Highly recommend those as well.
Yes. Which is what? Return to the... No.
Yeah, it's either Return of the Creature...
Revenge of the Creature, that's it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the third one is called The Creature Walks Among Us.
That's right.
And it takes a real interesting twist.
And that's kind of... Because, I mean, the reason I saw that recently was because, you know, The Shape of Water, which is kind of... I mean...
I haven't seen it yet.
It's... beautiful, completely beautiful, and it's definitely Guillermo's homage love letter to Creature, and takes elements I think from at least what I've heard Creature Walks Among Us does, and sprinkles that throughout the film. So
hardly ever get to the theater anymore.
I know. I even
it's expensive.
I bought Movie Pass and like I had it for 3 months and I paid for it for 3 months and I never went. I didn't even use it. I was like, so I canceled it. I'm like, all right, well,
it's too busy.
This is how, like, I just couldn't. I mean, there wasn't anything in the theater either that I was really like, I have to see this. It was more like, well, I have it, so I have to use it, and then picking something.
Didn't happen.
And I just didn't get around to it.
Oh, well.
It's terrible.
I know you have lots of projects coming up. Anything that you would like to mention for our listeners?
Sure. I just worked on a feature called 30 Weight. That's not up on IMDb yet. and that is being directed by Dwayne Whitaker, and it stars Daniel Roebuck. And that's more of like a drama. Well, it starts off as a comedy, then kind of turns into like a drama, thriller, road trip sort of film. So outside of horror, but I think it's going to be a pretty good project. And then I also have a comedy web series, that horror comedy web series, that I'm part of called Squad Ghouls, which Amalia is directing. And I've worked with Amma before on a short film From Hell She Rises, which is currently still playing in festivals and still getting awards and all that sort of stuff. And she's amazingly talented, so I can't wait for this to get going and get off the ground, because it's going to be a lot of fun and the script's really funny. And then there's also a short film that I am doing with Todd Norwood, who I worked with back in Massachusetts on the series The Salinger Spies, which was really, really fun and was like an action comedy sort of thing. And so this new one that we're doing is more like a buddy drama kind of project. But yeah, so we have that coming up, which I'm excited about. And then I have a horror anthology that I'm working on with Jessica Sanborn and Chris Malturo, who I worked with them on The Haunting of Alice Dee and with them on Chupacabra Territory. And so now this anthology series is, I think they're calling it Holiday of Horrors. And each of the episodes is centered around a holiday. And the overall, that overall series is being produced by Wesley Alley, who recently worked on Twin Peaks.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Do you know Megan Hensley then?
Oh, yeah, I know Megan.
She's a
totally
friend of mine.
Yeah, Megan's great.
She was in, I should mention for the listeners, she was also in The Haunting of Alice.
Yeah,
Dee.
she was the lead. Like, cool. She was, yeah, main girl in that. And she was in Chupacabra Territory, too.
Oh, I just picked it up a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
So I need to watch that
yeah.
for sure. That's
so
awesome.
She's in, so, yeah, she knows Jess and Chris and, like, that whole circle. So.
I was, I went home for Christmas, and I was in a family video just browsing. I'm like, Chupacabra Territory. Pick it up. Turn it around. Saw you. I'm like, yep, getting it.
Good.
So can't wait to check that one out.
Chris will be glad to hear that.
Yes. And then I also want to mention, I definitely need to check out that 30 Weight, is it?
30 Weight, yes. So,
I'm a sucker for road trip movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Roebuck is a friend of mine as well.
Oh,
so
really?
Gotta check that out.
Yeah, that's perfect. So yeah. That's still being shot. I'm done. My part's over. But yeah, I'm hoping that should be pretty fun once that's all done and comes out. So.
Just out of personal curiosity, what was it like working with Danny? He's a great guy.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
he's super great. He's super nice, super fun. And I mean, he's helping out Dwayne, because him and Dwayne are good friends. And so they're, you know, going around doing whatever he needs to get done on set in order to get the movie made. And
he's like that.
So, yeah, he's a really great,
yeah,
really great guy, really friendly and good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
So he was great to work with.
Well, where can people go if they want to keep up to date with all the stuff that you got going on, social media and whatnot?
Yeah. So I'm on all of the social medias,
mm-hmm.
where I try to be at least. So yeah, I'm on Facebook as Sarah Nicklin. I'm on Twitter also as Sarah Nicklin, Instagram as well. I do have a website, sarahnicklin.com. I'm currently doing a redesign on it, so there's nothing on there at the moment. It's just a landing page, but you can check there and check back periodically, and I'll get that up at some point when I get the time. So
cool. And of course, we will post links down to all that below on bmoviemania.com, so you can check out all that. Sarah, thank you so much for chatting
thank
with me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great getting, you know, a chance to finally do this, and continued success with all the projects coming up in the future.
Thank you so much.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at BMovieMania. You can also drop them a line at BMovieMania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!